Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And as Elizabeth Taylor said to her sixth husband, I won't keep you long, okay? So there's that. You know, the older generation's like, oh, you can't say that. I was telling Brother Curtis, this thing looks like Bob Barker's, like, you know, yeah, the price is right. There you go. Yeah. We're going old school, people. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Men, what's coming up in a few days? Men, what's coming up in a few days? What? Who said Super Bowl? Wrong. It is Valentine's Day. Thank you, Valentine's Day. Thank you, men. You figured it out. That's the right answer, Valentine's Day. The Super Bowl, yes, it's coming around, but Valentine's Day is the correct answer to that question. Thessalonians is named after a town called Thessalonica. And Thessalonica is named after Alexander the Great's half-sister, Thessalonica. He had a general, his name was Cassander, and he vanquished this town and named it after his wife. So gentlemen, what are you going to do for Valentine's Day? You're going to go to Amarillo, you're going to go to Channing, you're going to go to Stratford and vanquish that town and name it after your wife, amen? So that's your plan for Valentine's Day. Tonight I want to talk about stewarding the gospel. It really is an honor to close out Stewardship Month. I've been very challenged by the thoughts of stewarding my thoughts, by the thought of stewarding my finances, and stewarding my relationships. I really appreciate those messages, Pastor. It's been a real challenge to me, and it's really made me look at myself and wonder where I'm really at and how I'm stewarding the life that God has given me. And it's been really neat just to take a time out of the year to look at that, and I appreciate Pastor's leadership on that, and I appreciate Pastor. We appreciate their ministry here, and if it wasn't for them, a lot of things that my wife and I have seen would not have seen. They have been such a blessing to us. Let's give our pastor another round of applause tonight. Man. Tonight, I want to think on one thought, and if there's anything that you can go into this next room thinking about, and talking about, maybe if it gets brought up, it's going to be this: stewarding the gospel thrills the heart of God. Stewarding the gospel thrills the heart of God. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 4. One verse tonight, and we'll be pretty short, just like Elizabeth Taylor's marriage. And here we go. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. But listen to this. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Let's read that one more time all together, please. Ready, begin. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. Stewarding the gospel thrills the heart of God. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for another chance to be able to gather around your word corporately. And I'm just praying, Father, that you would bless this time. Lord, would you give me the words to say? Would you give me the words not to say? Lord, would you touch someone tonight through your word and through this message? Lord, I don't know who this message is going to impact the most, but I'm praying, God, that it would impact someone in some way. Lord, we love you, and I'm just praying, Father, that as we look in your word, that we would remember and that we would see that whenever we steward the gospel, it's not only going to help someone, and it's not only potentially going to change someone's life, but it pleases you, and it makes you full of joy, and it thrills your heart when we share the gospel, and when we steward what we've been given and what we've been trusted with. Father, would you help us to see that tonight? How we can make you happy. Lord, you created this world for your pleasure, but there's nothing that makes you happy like when we steward the gospel, like when we share the gospel. There's nothing like it. Help us to see that tonight. Help us to see how we, as creation, can make you happy. Lord, would you bless this time? Please. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a week's time, 115 million people are going to tune in some way via the internet, satellite, to the Super Bowl. Over $15 million is going to be spent in some way towards a Super Bowl party nationwide, $15 million is going to be spent, whether that be on chips and salsa, alcohol, merchandise, whatever the case. And at least 70,000 people are going to be in attendance to the Super Bowl game. And the next day, on Monday, was that going to be the 4th? Right, February the 4th. On the headline of a newspaper almost everywhere in the country, is either going to say, the Los Angeles Rams win the Super Bowl, or the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl. And my brother loves the New England Patriots, let me tell you. Loves the New England Patriots. No, he hates them. But it's going to say one of those two things. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, people are going to be talking about the outcome of this game. Whether it be the New England Patriots cheated. Who cares? But they're going to be talking about it. Whether that be at work, whether that be at school, even in the hair salons. The wives are going to be talking all about it. Oh, they were up till 10, 11 o'clock last night arguing about the game. I don't know. But in some way, it's going to be talked about. And all across the nation, in big print, it's going to say the Los Angeles Rams win the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl. And I want to ask you tonight, what's going to be on the headline of your life tomorrow morning? What are you going to be talking about? What are you going to be excited about come Monday morning? Come Tuesday, what are you going to be excited to share with people? What are you going to be excited to talk about? Hey, this is what happened at church. Brother Robert preached a great message. Maybe that's what you say. I don't know. But people are going to talk about this. People are going to spend money on this. People are going to attend this. People are going to go into debt over this. You know, at least $3,500 to even get in the front gate. $3,500. I got to replace the transmission, and I'm not going to spend that money going to watch some guys play on a field. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That's a ton of money. At least $3,500. And people are going to be talking about that too. But I want to ask this, what's going to be on the headline of tomorrow morning for you? What's going to be in big print for you? What are you going to be talking about tomorrow? That news is going to strike the nation, absolutely. That news is going to be global, absolutely. But let me tell you something, folks. This right here, we have the good news. This is going to be the news that lasts eternity. This is going to be the news that helps someone and makes a difference. Amen. Can you tell me who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? Probably not. Can I tell you who saved me in 2011? Absolutely. Amen. This is going to be what lasts. This is going to be the news that I want to share. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself. Pastor, you'd probably agree that the best messages that you've ever preached are the ones that you preach to yourself. And I'm thinking about this myself, and I'm looking at my life, and I'm wondering, am I excited about this? But let me tell you something, folks. God is excited about that. Would you look at that verse again? 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God, who is we in this? Let me set that up. Look at chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians. Okay, so back to chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we, being Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with what? The gospel. Even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, look up here, but God. Not everyone's going to want to hear the gospel. I understand that, and I'm not blind to that. I'm not ignorant to that. No, not everyone's going to want to hear that they're a filthy sinner going to hell. Not everyone's going to want to hear that. But when we share the gospel and when we obey God, it pleases him and it gives him joy. And he's sitting up there and he's shouting to say yes, because he's pleased and there's joy in that. And he loves when we steward the gospel. Why? Because this stewarding the gospel thrills the heart of God. It's not going to thrill a ton of people, but it's going to thrill God. And there's sometimes whenever I'm just about to go and share the gospel with someone. There's sometimes where I'm just about to pull the trigger on it. There's sometimes where I'm just about to finally just launch out and do it. And then I wonder, is this even going to make a difference? Is this even going to change anybody's life? Am I just spitting in the wind here? They're not going to care. I can be super Christian all day long, and I can tell them the gospel all day long, and are they really going to care? And I wonder that, and I think that, and I'm pestering myself, and I'm wondering, is that even going to make a difference? But if I were to talk about the Super Bowl, oh man, they'd be all for it, right? And we can sometimes get that. And I want to ask you, do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, I'm going to share the gospel finally. I'm going to share it with somebody. I'm at the bank. I'm at the doctor's office. But then Satan comes in subtly, and he says, you're going to mess it up. They're not going to care. It's not going to make a difference. They're too young. They're too old. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to change their life. Folks, let me tell you something. If you were in a bus ministry, or if you've ever been a bus captain or anything like that, would you raise your hand? You drive a bus. It's because of you that I'm here. The gospel makes a difference. Working in the gospel ministry makes a difference. Would you keep your hands raised for a second? All you people have been in a bus ministry. Miss Melba, such a sweet lady. I can think of all the times. Keep your hands up. I can think of all the times that she could barely stand up in that bus, but she's still clapping away, and she's still singing songs, and she's still telling us that she loves us. And it's because of people like that and because of people like you that are raising your hand that I'm here today. You can put your hands down. Thank you. The gospel makes a difference. The gospel can change a life. The gospel changed my parents' life. And for some reason, the gospel changed your life, and that's why you're here tonight. In some way, somebody reached you. In some way, somebody reached your parents. And guess what? God has been pleased ever since. And it thrilled his heart whenever that person talked to you, because now you're here. And now you're sitting in church. And now you're faithful to God. And now you're tithing. And now you're serving. And now you're doing all these things. Now you're going to grow. And he's pleased in all that. Why? Because sharing the gospel, that person that shared it with you, that person that shared it with your parents, that person that shared it with your grandparents, that person that shared it with your brother or sister, whatever your story is, God is still pleased with that. And there's joy in God's heart when that person shared the gospel with you. Why? Because he saw farther than that. He saw 20, 30 years of faithful service. That's what he saw. And he's looking at you and he's saying, I want you to do that. Because it's going to make me happy. Parents, just like whenever you're raising that child, whenever you're raising that teen, whenever you're investing in that person, and you finally see them start to do the things that you train them and hope that they would do, and you finally see it one day, and you say, that's what it was for. That's how God feels. Whenever we share the gospel with others, he's saying, I'm so proud of that person. They finally did it, and I'm so happy with them. God created this world. He created this galaxy to please him. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. God says that he's entrusted us with his word. He's entrusted us with a precious, precious gift that we're to share with others. And when we do, it thrills his heart. And it makes him so happy. Let me ask you something. I don't always make God happy. I'm a sinner. I do things contrary to his word daily. Whether that be in thought, whether that be in something that I should have done but didn't. But I'm so glad that he tells me there's a way to please him and to bring a smile to his face. And that it could bring pleasure to him and that it could bring joy to him if I were to just simply tell someone about him and about his son and about his finished work on the cross. Paul shared it with these people, the Thessalonians. He shared the gospel with these people and he trained them and equipped them and built a church there. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go to the first chapter of it. It says in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. People, you're not going into sharing the gospel with someone alone. You may say, I don't know all the verses. I don't know what all to say. You're not doing it alone. You're going in power. And you're going in much assurance. He's giving you all the things that you need to make him happy. He's giving you all the things that you need to bring joy to him. And that's what he wants. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. People, there's power in his word. There's power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there's power in that gospel. You sing about it. But do you do it? Do I do it? Satan comes in, man, and I got to tell you what. He's a nasty creature, and he'll tell me some things. Say, it's not going to matter, man. Don't worry about it. They're not going to make it. It's not going to make a difference. They're not going to come. You've tried, and you've tried, and it's not going to come. Whether they come or not is not up to me. But what is up to me is whether or not I could please the Lord, is whether I please God or not. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust, he's trusting us with it. He has given it to us to be able to give to others. And we don't go in it alone. And next time you're given the chance to share the gospel, just remember this. I'm not doing this because it makes me comfortable. I'm doing this because it pleases God. You say, well, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to get that conversation started. I've never done that before. I don't know what that looks like. Edward, I want you to come up here, buddy. Edward, come up here. This is one of the Aria boys. This is Nodder and Ellis's brother. Proud of this young man. How's it going, man? Doing all right? Yeah. Edward is going to demonstrate someone who doesn't go to church. He's not wearing a suit and tie right now. He is in line at Subway, in line at the bank, wherever you're at, wherever it is that you go. He's just someone in line. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the menu at Subway and I'm like, man, this is all healthy. I don't like this at all. I'm like, let's go to Burger King. I'm like, Chick-fil-A. Hey, David. Tell him the gospel. Tell him the gospel. Tell him the gospel. Tell him the gospel. That's how it feels sometimes, right? Hey, man, how's it going? I like your shoes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've seen a few people at church wear those. What's the deal with those? Are they comfortable? Are they stylish? What's with them?
Comfortable.
Yeah? Where'd you get them at? You don't remember? Burlington, maybe? I don't know. Sure? Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of people at church wear those. I'm pretty curious about them. And I should probably finally pull the trigger and get me some of those. Do you go to church anywhere?
Yes.
You do? No, you don't go to church, remember?
Oh,
no, you don't go to church. Yeah. No, I'm Catholic, or I used to go. My grandparents used to go. I haven't been in a while. You know, we'll go Christmas. We'll go Thanksgiving. We'll go around times like that. And I tell them, well, you know, and we're still in line. And I tell them, well, I'd love to have you come to our church, and I'd love to share with you that I want to actually just give you this track that will tell you that how you can go to heaven, and that there is a God that does love you. There's a God that died for you, and there's a God that raised again for you to prove that he is God. And all you have to do is accept it. It's not money. It's not baptism. It's not anything like that. But I'd love for you to come, and if you'll just take that, I just want to leave you with that, and I hope to see you soon. And then I get my food, and I go. Yes! That's what I wanted from you. That's what I wanted. He didn't have to get saved. You didn't have to lead him to the Lord. All I wanted was for you to share the gospel. And that was it.
Amen.
Just like that.
Amen.
And joy. Just like a parent, whenever they see their child say, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. Whenever they see their child budget, whenever they see their child get up and try again on that bike, whatever the case, parents, I'm not a parent yet, I can't explain that joy yet, but one day I will. But I can tell you this, that it pleases the heart of God. And it thrills the heart of God. When you share the gospel, it thrills the heart of God. It thrills him. And so much joy. And you did that. It wasn't just your pastor that did it. It wasn't me that did it. It wasn't the deacons that did it. It wasn't just the Sunday school teachers that did it. It was you. You did it. You made me happy, son. You made me happy. There's joy in sharing the gospel. Thanks, Edward. You can go and sit down. Next time you see one of those boys around town, you make sure to put your arm around them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're proud of them. It's the next generation, folks. It pleases the heart of God. Just something simple like that. It doesn't have to be a sermon that you're preaching to anybody. It doesn't have to be anything like that. But imagine if everyone in Bible Baptist Church did that. Imagine if one person in every seat here tonight would do that at Subway, the bank, Amarillo, whatever. But Satan's going to come. And Satan's going to tap on your shoulder and say, it's not going to matter. Don't do it. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to look dumb. You're not going to be popular anymore. But God comes in and says, yeah, but it'll please me. And it'll give me joy. And as I watch someone that I've saved do that with someone else and share the gospel with someone else, he has joy in that. And we can make him happy. And we can serve him that way. Folks, people see us and they see that we have peace on earth. They see that we have a home in heaven. They see that, some of them. Some of them don't. Some of them don't care to see that. Some of them don't care to look. But that's what we have, and that's what we ought to share. And share the God that gave us that. Not just because it may change their life, but because it's going to please God. And I'm not necessarily worried about what it's going to happen to their life. I that's out of my hands. But what I do know, and the benefit that I instantly get, is that I pleased God. Stewarding the gospel thrills the heart of God. I'm reminded of a story of Howard Carter and Lord Carnarvon in November of 1922. They were explorers, and they were looking for something in Egypt, and they were looking for something that hasn't been found in 3,000 years. People through the centuries have tried to look for this thing, a little something called King Tut's tomb. King Tut's tomb. And they're going out, and they're looking for it, and they finally get on a good trail, and they finally start sniffing it out, and they go to this big room where other people are buried, and they start figuring out, and through years of research and through research of other people down through the years, they start chiseling away at this wall. They start chiseling away at it and hoping to see something on the other side. And all they have is candles at this time. All they have is what they can manufacture for them to be able to see anything. They don't have industrial lights. They don't have anything like that. All they have is a little candle and some chisels and some tools. And they're chiseling into this wall. They're chiseling into it. And they're really going at it, trying to be careful. And Howard Carter, he's trying to see in there. And he's putting an iron in there. And he's putting the candle in there. And he's trying to see what's in this room. He said, this may just be where it's at. Lord Carnarvon, he's standing behind him. And he's kind of not necessarily keeping watch out, but he's standing there to make sure everything is going to go okay. And as Howard Carter's carving away, he's finally seeing into this little room, and the dust is finally starting to settle, and he sees through a little hole in the wall, and he's putting the candle in there, and all of a sudden emerging is gold and precious, priceless artifacts, things that haven't been uncovered in thousands of years. This city of treasure. And there he sees it, the tomb. Finally got it. And Lord Carnarvon's back there. He's saying, you know, your heart's beating really fast. And you're, do you see anything? Howard Carter says, yes. Incredible things. All he sees is the glistening of gold. And all he sees is this potential treasure. And all he sees is these valuable artifacts. And he's set up for life, and his children are set up for life. And he sees inside this city of gold. Folks, can I tell you something tonight? We have this. We have peace. We have a home in heaven. Some people see that we're Christians. And they'll ask us sometimes, what's with this whole Christian thing? Is this really something that I can get in on? Is it really something that's going to affect my life? Is it really something that's going to affect my marriage? You know what they're asking us? Do you see anything? The whole church thing, the whole Jesus thing. Do you see anything? But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. God says, you want to make me happy? And tell them what you see. Tell them what you found. Stewarding the gospel thrills the heart of God. Would you stand with me? As Brother Curtis comes up here to play the piano, I want to ask you, do you want to thrill the heart of God? Will you steward the gospel to simply thrill the heart of God and maybe just see someone's life changed? What are you going to be excited about this week? What are you going to be talking about this week? What's going to make you happy? Making God happy? What's going to do it for you? Making God happy or making men happy? Because it's not going to be always comfortable to do it, but it will make God happy. You come to the altar and you take care of whatever business you need to. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved, or people think you've been saved and it's never really happened. And you're sitting here tonight and people think that you are, and you know in the bottom of your heart that you're not, and you've never accepted that. Jesus Christ came to this world as a perfect being, and he lived a sinless life, and he was crucified on the cross for you, and he rose again the third day. And because of that, you have a home in heaven, and because of that, you have peace on earth. Stewarding the gospel thrills and joys the heart of God. Do you want that? Are you telling others what you see in Jesus? Father, we love you. Bless this invitation. Lord, I'm praying, God, that someone somewhere in this room would want to thrill your heart and please you. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the power it has. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.